thank you for joining us for the Help for Wounded Spirits broadcast. We exist to help those wounded and suffering through life's trials. Here is our host and best-selling author, Doug Carriger.
Great to be back with you. We certainly hope this finds you well and in the arms of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He alone is worthy. He alone is worthy of us doing this broadcast and putting it out on radio stations or however you pull this up. We're thrilled. Welcome. We just did Appaletics. I was telling you, shout out to our friends down under there in Australia. Shout out to our friends in Indonesia. Shout out to our friends. And we added some countries since last time we did. We got some people in North Korea listening to us. We just want to tell you all that we love you. Thank you. Thank you for tuning us in. We're praying for you. We're thrilled. Kevin, catch us up. What's in your life right now?
Man, I'm just living the dream as far as serving God. You know, service, I was just talking to someone last night, serving God's not an easy thing, but it sure is rewarding. And I mean, I'm in Ocala, Florida, which is like a horse raising capital. I don't know if it's thoroughbreds or quarter horses around here.
Yeah.
I think it's more quarter horses, but a lot of beautiful farms. You know, horse farms usually gorgeous. They have kind of the X beam fences, and the barns are kind of ornate, and it's a cool place. And starting a chapter here in Ocala, and preaching in three other churches. I'm not even supposed to be here. I was going to be in Texas, but making my way to Greenville after this, after the kickoff of Fort Eisenhower Wounded Spirits up to Greenville, Greer, to get some work done. Lord willing, on my shoulder. So, yeah, things are moving along and at a good clip.
Yeah, no, I'm thrilled about that. That's wonderful. And you know, having an opportunity to fulfill what God has for you in your life is wonderful. And the way you're doing that. And it's also, as I mentioned, it's the capital of retired folks in Ocala. And a weird fact is when I was out there, I don't know how far I was from Ocala, but a pastor drove me out to John Travolta's airstrip and house. He flies right up to one of his houses there in Ocala, Florida.
Wow.
He's got a 747 or something right out there in his yard. And a 2 mile. Yeah, you know you got too much money when you have that, bro. I just want to point that out, right? Look it up. It'll freak you out.
I saw a picture of it the other day. Facebook knows where I'm at, so they threw up a big John Travolta thing.
Yeah.
Two big jets sitting outside.
Yeah, Big Brother's listening, man. Yeah, and he's flying around volcanoes looking for Zeno. And, you know, looking for the god who came down from Mars, who's the god of Scientology, and L. Ron Hubbard. And I thank God as we listen today, folks. Listen, I want to say this to you. It's so easy to get caught up in cults and all this stuff today. And to have you folks tuning in and listening to God's word, it really helps me. I want you to know that you encourage me. And I want to say that you help me to be a better human being by listening. You really do. And help me to go in and study. I know you do the same for Kevin. And just thank you. We love you. We love you, folks.
Yes.
So we find ourselves today. We've been talking about a lot of stuff this week. We've been talking about signs and certain fulfillment, unknown timing. Yesterday we spoke on readiness. And now we find ourselves speaking about the servant's role. And we're all servants of God. No matter, you know, we can't go to God and say, God, but I suffer from depression. I found out yesterday, Kevin, a fact for you with PTSD. On the 1st of March, 2024, the U.S. government, the American Medical Association, said that anxiety surpassed depression as the number one health issue in the United States today. So, folks, I get it. We have PTSD. We get wound up. We worry. But we have a great God. And, you know, God looks at us a whole body type of healing and those type. That's what we're doing, right? We're looking at what God tells us to do. And as we implement these things, it's like prescriptions for our soul. That's what we're doing. We're providing prescriptions for our soul. We're taking God's prescriptions and we're taking the medicine. We're reading the Bible. We're studying God's word. And I know there's some other stuff. I told you guys yesterday that I'm going to an occupational therapist who's helping me get my elbows better and things of that nature. But man, I'm telling you, when it comes to our soul, there's only one prescription, and that prescription that needs to be filled every single day reading the Bible, every single day in prayer, is Jesus Christ. You know, the Bible says over here about being a servant in John chapter 12, 26, something we covered just a couple months ago. If any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Listen, be found where Christ is at. Be found in the church. Be found in the Bible. Be found in your prayer life. Be found in a godly relationship. Be found in a relationship that looks to uphold your loved ones, to make them feel good about themselves, the friends, the neighbors. Be found there. Be found right smack dab in the middle of it. And let God use that in your life, and He will, brethren. He will use it. He will make a difference in your life. And Galatians, it says, for brethren, you have been called unto liberty. And what a great thing. You're called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for occasion to the flesh, but by love to serve one another. So you're called unto liberty, but you're not called unto liberty to hurt people. You're called unto liberty to help people. You're called unto liberty to be disciplined. You're called unto liberty to be kind, Kevin. There's so much when we talk about a servant's role. Be kind, be loving, be the servant. You're not greater than your Lord, but the one who sent you is greater than you. Serve him, be found with him, Kevin.
Yeah, liberty to help people. That is so good. You mentioned anxiety surpassing depression is the number one mental illness or whatever. You know, anxiety is solved to me by becoming a servant of Jesus Christ. A servant. So if anxiety is I can't relax because of all the things that are, you know, just plaguing my mind, then a servant is someone who has relaxed his mind, and because he has taken up the success of someone else as his goal, and so long as he is achieving that goal, then it's going to be fine. Now, it only works when you're serving Jesus Christ, because narcissists abound, and you say, well, I'm going to serve someone. He wants me to put on this spooky dog collar, but that's okay. He wants me to chain myself to the bed, but that's okay. He wants me to do it. Well, guess what? The servant, the Bible says, be not servants of men. So, you know, we should be humble and submit ourselves one to another, and there's all those things. But, you know, serving God is the only place where we can relax our anxious mind and serve God. Really, a servant, by definition, is someone who has traded all of his expectations of physical, earthly benefits in exchange for the fulfillment of doing what someone else wants him to do. That's what a servant does, a willing servant. Now, obviously, there's slaves, but a willing servant, the idea of a bond slave of Jesus Christ, talking about a willing servant, by the way, enslave us. But we say, Lord, I am so fulfilled by doing your will. I have found the ability to relax this tired, anxious soul into this life of doing things that please you. In fact, I was looking up when you said we were going to be talking about servants. The servants of King Solomon were pretty happy dudes, because Solomon was wise in the beginning. He was wise, and until he traded it for women, but he was wise and he was good and godly. And the Queen of Sheba visited him, and she said, you know, I've come to trip you up on your words. But she said, it was a true report that I heard in mine own land of thy accent, of thy wisdom, as 1 Kings 10, 6. Howbeit, I believe not the words until I came, and mine eyes had seen it. Behold, the half was not told me, thy wisdom, thy prosperity exceedeth the fame which I heard. Then she said this is epic. Happy are thy men, happy are these thy servants which stand continually before thee and that hear thy wisdom. Blessed be the Lord thy God, which delighted in thee to set thee on the throne of Israel, because the Lord loved Israel forever. Therefore, he made thee king to do judgment and justice. Here's a queen that has everything her heart could desire, saying, I envy your servants. These are you guys standing around here. You're standing there, sir, with a big, you know, lance standing there next to the king all day. You got this lance in your hand, but you're smiling. Why are you smiling? Because I have a great king. Yeah. Solomon's great. I love what I do. And that's what, honestly, Solomon went bad. He did come back, but we have to make a decision. You know what? I can either be anxious and say, I'm going to do it my way and be like the Queen of Sheba and say, I just don't think anyone's as good as me and I've got all the worries of the kingdom. No, but guess what? She fell in love with the with this idea of another king. And we ought to have this idea that, hey, you know, Jesus Christ is so wonderful. Why not just hang all the worry and let him be Lord like he is, and he'll decide what I need. It'll work out.
Let God be God. That's some good stuff right there, folks. And for even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and give his life a ransom for many. Give your life. Just pour your life into people. Your family first and others and friends. Pour your life into them. Be ready. Pour your life into them. Be that servant. Have that role that makes a difference. We do love you, folks. We'll be right back with you. Hang with us, and we'll be right back.
Return shortly. Meanwhile, you're hearing this music while radio stations are identifying themselves and broadcasting advertisements.
I don't think we could pick better verses today to go along with our subject of being our servant. And we continue on with an exegetical verse-by-verse study of the life of Christ. We still find ourselves in the Olivet Discord. And we're in Matthew 24 in verses 45 through 47. And the Bible says, "Who then is a faithful and a wise servant, whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household, to give them meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Verily I say unto you that he shall make him ruler over all his goods." Friends, can I tell you something? As I look at that verse, who's the faithful servant? And it goes on and it says it's the one that God makes ruler. It's the one that God allows to bring meat into the house. It's the one out there working. It's the one that's doing it. It's all of us. It's all of us together. We're all doing that, right? I'm a faithful servant. I'm ruler. My wife's a faithful servant. And, you know, being faithful and wise, again, Jesus uses a metaphor of faithful and wise. It's something that he entrusts to those of us who accept him and move out on him. He tells us that, you know, he gives us some responsibilities here. It kind of grabbed my attention as I was looking at this a few minutes ago. He goes on and he says, we have a responsibility. We provide nourishment, you know, and not only food, folks, we provide the word of God, and we provide God's love. We share it with people, and the importance of spiritual leadership and stewardship in communities. And I think that verse is talking community. I think it's, you know, hey, folks, I know this was written a couple thousand years ago, but let me tell you something. It's as contemporary today as it was then. You know, there's a church, you know, we downplay the role in anxiety and depression and all that with the pastoral role, with the local church, with counselors, with this broadcast. We downplay it, but God uses all of this. And then, you know, there's a blessedness that comes with faithfulness. And he talks about, you know, it's a blessing to be a faithful servant. You know, this isn't a hard job. This isn't a hard task. God actually said, no, wait a minute. You're blessed if you're this way. You know, you're blessed. And there's a promise of a reward there during the master's return, and that's pretty great. And so you got to ask yourself the question, these points, we'll pass this over to Kevin. What's the characteristics of faithful? I think we find them there in that verse, you know, providing, sharing, doing those things. And you know, be anticipating, again, the master's return, having that responsibility of not only bringing meat, but bringing spiritual leadership in your lane. And Kevin, I think this is good stuff here.
Yeah. Oh, my soul. Yeah. I listened to what you're talking about there, and some of these scriptures, my heart just burns in me. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It gets good. I mean, you talk about the subject matter of the ages and how applicable this really is. Reminded that Jesus is answering disciples' questions in this Olivet Discourse, And as the questions were in answer to Jesus saying, all of you are pretty impressed by these this temple, aren't you? But I just went into the temple and found it not ready for the Messiah. He tore up the Pharisees in the last chapter. And they said in answer to his prophecy of doom of the temple and Jerusalem, when shall these things be and what should be the sign of thy coming? So his whole answer here was, I'm not going to tell you when it's going to be, but this is what you can be about in the meantime. So if you're about this, you won't have anxiety in your heart all the time because the timing, and I think they were anxious. I think they honestly had anxiety over his answer. I would, the destruction of Jerusalem, that's their city. And, you know, it's like living in Ocala, Florida. And so I'm saying, you see these beautiful horse farms? You see the Travolta Mansion? Guess what? It's going to be destroyed by a nuclear blast. Mm. Well, when's it going to be destroyed? Okay, I'm not going to tell you when. Just trust me. And by the way, the Christians escaped the fall of Jerusalem. It's another story altogether.
Amen.
The Jews did not. Christians made it to Pella miraculously. And we can trust that God has everything in hand. But so we can trust God to either deliver us to heaven or from the trouble. But in the meantime, we serve. In the meantime, we've got something to do. And he gives us a negative and a positive. Don't go beating your fellow servants. Oh, my soul, Doug, as you texted me the other day what we're going to be studying today or where we're picking up, and I just looked at that. And I was like, oh, my soul, that is a this whole thing, don't beat your fellow servants. I just thought, you know, the state of the America today and churches, including churches that should know better and pastors that should know better, is they get really on this rant thing against their fellow servants.
I know.
Facebook, social media, whatever it is.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Standing up in the pulpit. Yeah, always busting on the guy down the street, the church across town. And brother, there's just vindictiveness. And, you know, well, he stole some of my people. I've heard of some bad servants, brother. And they said, well, if he I've heard of good, supposedly they're not good. Honestly, they're charlatans. But supposedly good Bible-believing preachers that say, well, if he exposes me, I'll just lie on him. I'll lie about him. And brother, that's exactly what Jesus is talking about here. And in contrast, through the scriptures, the Bible says plainly, who art thou that judgest another man's servant? So I get it. We have to be discerning. And Paul did expose people like Alexander the coppersmith. And but you know what? When he did it, he was selective. Hello, it was surgical. These were people, he said, did me much evil. You be thou aware also. He made people aware of people that will make you feel safe, but will actually destroy you. Alexander the coppersmith was one of those dudes. He was a fake. And so it's perfectly appropriate to say, you know what? Okay, y'all aware of this guy, this situation. He sounds so good, but this is how it turns out. So they're not just ranting and getting stuff off their chest. That's beating your fellow servants. And I think we need to return to, if you don't have anything good to say about someone, don't say it. And yes, there are times when we should warn every day with night and day with tears. But yeah, Jesus made it very plain. So we need to, on the positive side, go about serving God, knowing that he's going to show up and call us into account. But if God's put me in management, hey, if I work for Walmart and Sam Walton's company puts me in management of one Walmart, how is it going to help for me to get on the horn on the intercom in my Walmart and say, we're the best Walmart in town, the Walmart across town, they don't have the best selection. They've been known to have, you know, put some bad products on the shelf. The problem with that is, well, everyone knows this, that the regional manager is going to tear them up and headquarters is going to yank your pay and your job. How much more? Jesus is coming from heaven. It's what he's saying. Watch, therefore, on the positive side, watch, because God is going to call us into account, and every word that is spoken and every idle word we will give account for in that day. I don't want to be that way, Doug.
Yeah, you and me both, brother. And such good thought. And, you know, as servants, we've got a responsibility not to be bad-mouthing the people next door, not to be bad-mouthing, but to be lifting people up, to be helping them to point. Remember the characteristics I mentioned to you, things to ponder after today. What's the characteristic of faithfulness, and or the characteristics? What's the characteristics of the servant's role within our church? Well, we know it's being wise, so being in the Word of God, studying the Word of God. We know that it's being a spiritual leader. We know that it's being faithful. We know that it's staying in your lane and doing the best job you can, anticipating the master's return. We know it's there. Folks, take up that role that God's given you in your home and serve it in a way that no one else can. And God will take these crazy traumas, these crazy lives, these terrible things that turn us upside down, and they'll start to use them for his glory. We love you guys. Yeah. Come on back Monday. Can't wait to finish this up. May God bless you.
Thank you for listening to our broadcast. At Help for Wounded Spirits, we believe the Bible and place great importance on you having a personal relationship with your Lord and Savior. The Bible delivers a clear and simple message of salvation, outlining how you can begin your personal relationship now. First, recognize that you are a sinner, as all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Second, understand that there is a cost to our sin, as the wages of sin is death. Third, realize that Jesus alone paid that price. To receive salvation, simply ask the Lord to save you in Jesus' name, while believing in your heart that He alone can save you, and He will. If we can help you with your salvation, or to direct you to a local church, please do not hesitate to contact us. For additional helpful resources, including our new TV series, more information, or to donate and support this crucial ministry, please visit us at woundedspirits.com. May God bless you.